You know you belong together, little big pod forever. You're talking on air. Nathan has weird hair. From the very first moment I heard you, I never felt such emotion. From talking on air, I said no, you are there. So hold me in your arms and let me go. I wanna stay forever, closer each day. Graham and Nate.
We're in, baby.
Dara Quilty. Now, let's talk. We need to talk things first here. I can see Dara. Dara can see me.
I don't need to see Dara.
Do you not want to see Dara?
Nah, I know what he looks like. I'm sure he's wearing a beanie, is he?
He's wearing a beanie.
Does he ever do his hair anymore, DQ?
I can't. It's the problem is I can't fucking do my hair. I need professionals. The beanie, for me, obviously now being emulated by Justin Bieber.
Justin beanie.
You know, I mean, I was obviously wearing the beanie long before Justin Bieber. Had long hair long before Justin Bieber. And also was wearing neck chains before Cunnel from Normal People.
I find it greatly disturbing where you get your hair done, because you go to different places, don't you?
You're wasting airspace if you're talking about the fucking regime to control.
No, can I see your hair? Okay, let's.
Yeah, you can see
we can both, because my hair has gone pretty long as well. So
let me bounce it up there for you.
See, it's not as long as I was expecting.
It's very thick, though.
You have thick, frizzy hair. Very frizzy hair. And Dara, for a person in his mid-30s, you don't have any greys.
I'd just like to say early 30s.
Early, what, 33?
Early 30s, okay.
That'd be mid-30s for me, my
Do
friend.
You have a big hairy arse?
Early 30s. I think this is early 30s is 30, 31, 32, 33. Mid-30s, 34, 35, 36. Late 30s, 37, 38, 39.
Whoa. 37 cannot late be... 30s. Cannot be... Sorry. 37 cannot be late 30s if 33 is early 30s.
No, because you're... 30 is an extra free year. 1, 2, 3, early 30s. 4, 5, 6, mid-30s. 7, 8, 9, late 30s. Now...
When I was 27, I was mid-20s.
No, late 20s, baby.
It doesn't matter. I'm nearly feckin' 30 now anyways. It doesn't matter.
I did ask a question and
what's the age gap between us? 3 years?
Four.
3 years, I think.
Oh, yeah. When are you 34? When are you in your mid-30s?
End of this year.
3 years.
As what always happens when we have Quilty on, I ask him a question and he does tend to ignore me until I...
Now, it's important, Graham, at this point that I bring Nathan in on a subject. I was just on a Zoom call.
Yes.
With my friend Warren, who Nathan knows.
Oh, I know Warren, yes. Well, how do I really know Warren? It started off a relationship purely based on Instagram, didn't it?
He's an idea. He's a concept.
He's an enigma.
Warren Doyle. He always spots me around the Dundrum area and then he'll DM me.
And you him. You spotted him in Marley Park.
I did see him in Marley Park one time. He is a recent father.
Way well on, Warren.
Now, the thing about Warren is he's a very good friend of mine. And on some recent podcasts, I've mentioned some of my friends, but I've never mentioned Warren.
Oh.
And... he was really deeply upset about this, guys.
So you've waited to the smallest possible podcast you've been on recently to mention him.
Yeah.
Where it'll be buried and he'll never hear his name mentioned.
No, this is important. And Nathan knows Warren.
Well, I don't really know Warren. Let's be honest. I find it a little bit creepy. When you worked here...
Hang on, guys. Sorry, one moment. I have a knock on the door. Please hold the line and... Please, can you pad for a moment?
Honestly, I've been trying
Pad, guys.
Yeah. We'll pad.
This has been frustrating.
He's got a beautiful camera.
I was going to say about Warren...
Who is Warren?
Warren is DQ's good friend. And I just know him because he likes some of the stuff I do on Instagram. And when Dara worked on 98FM, he invited Warren in. and Warren sent a picture of him sitting at my desk.
No way.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
So when did your relationship blossom?
He wanted to buy one of my foamy festival feet. He wanted a pink pair, I think in a size 9.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm out of size 9s, brother. I could do an 8 or a 10. And he's like, this is bullshit. Warren.
He knows what he wants.
Warren, try and understand.
Who was at the door?
You see, the odd thing about working from home is you can be broadcasting live while a man is cleaning your gutters.
The beauty of podcast, baby.
The man needs to be paid.
Did this man knock on your door and say, here, I'll clean your gutters? Or did you ring him?
It's a great guy we know personally. So,
do you want to give him a shout out in case anyone needs their gutters cleaned?
Come on.
I don't know the name of the company. And also, it was just one of the my staff that was...
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, one of my staff. So apologies. But yeah, my point is, what a great guy, Warren. Anyway,
yeah, he's a good guy. Right off.
Sorry, Quilty, do you have a hairy arse or not?
Yeah, I've asked that question like 3 times.
I'm going to show you something because this isn't a video podcast. It's going to disgust you.
Show us your arse there.
He definitely goes bald eagle.
Look at this. Not a hair on the body.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, describe what DQ's
Darren's lifting
doing.
Up his t-shirt. He's showing me his torso. Well, to be fair, I can't talk. I have 0 hair as well. I have a little bit of hair underneath my belly button going down to my pubic region. Do you have pubes?
He doesn't have a treasure trail.
Do you have pubes?
Obviously, it's like an ironing board and you're looking at my stomach and you're like, fuck,
there's not a pick on you.
He's well endowed.
I could take my fucking snowboard on those, the crevices of those abs. But not a hairy,
crack?
Yeah.
You don't, like, have you shaved that?
No, there's only a small bit.
Oh, you have a very little amount of armpit hair.
DQ, like, I have...
That's actually offensive. You have a nice bit,
I have a bit of armpit hair, yeah. Nathan, you'd be a hairy man.
Oh, I'd be a hairy man.
Did you get that from your father or your mother?
I think my mother.
Oh!
I was quite...
Oh, his hair is all wet.
Well, it is hot in the studio.
It's like a wet beaver.
It is like an enormous beaver you might see up Killiney Hill at 3 in the morning. It is huge. I was quite late to the game, puberty-wise.
Okay, put it away.
Really?
Now.
I was.
Because your chest, I've seen you, you are quite the fashionable guy, and you are not afraid of buttoning the button-up shirt. You know, you leave a couple of buttons down, we see the chest.
Yeah, baby.
And there is a presentation of, you know, a small forest.
Yeah, there is. I'm not afraid to say it. As I've gotten older, my nipples have become hairier. I do have a hairy chest and lower back.
I'm pluck my
to get
nipple
the
hair.
Angel wings. Are you getting the angel wings on the back?
I've no hair on my shoulders, on my back.
Same.
I've got these long pieces of hair that come out of my nipples that I pluck from time to time. My sister actually is fond of plucking my nipple hair.
Okay.
I know she listens.
Keep
so
it in the family.
Thanks for that, Rebecca.
One of the weirdest things I've ever heard anybody say probably is that there.
Yeah. Well, here we go. Fasten yourself in because this is Graham and Nathan's Little Big Podcast, and anything goes.
We did say DQ.
My sister is nearby. You want me to just pose that question to her and see what her immediate response is?
Ask her. Yeah, if
is
you go
she
to
in
her.
The house?
Yeah, I'll get her. No, it's not a problem.
Oh
is
my!
Is she in the house?
Have you ever met DQ's sister?
No.
Have you?
I'm always interested in meeting brothers and sisters to see if they are a female version of the boy I know, or vice versa, because
or if they look alike.
She's coming in cold to this now.
So am I to ask? Are you asking her?
No, well, she can't hear you guys, but
okay.
Like
you ask her.
Bear in mind, it's not on camera. Bear in mind, just the person listening. My sister and I are very close friends,
yes.
And so this is Graham and Nathan's podcast.
Hi.
Now,
hello.
This is a truth.
Nice to finally meet you.
I know you can't hear, but that's Graham there.
Oh, yeah.
And Graham told me that his sister...
No, you're not... No. Oh, no, I was going to get you to ask her and see her reaction. No.
You're delivering it badly.
Yeah.
Okay, well, she hasn't heard the question.
Well, she knows now exactly what it's for.
No, she doesn't.
She can't hear me now either, so this is going
to... No, she can't. Exactly, so it's... Okay, so if I said to you, Aoife, I need you to pluck my nipple hairs, what would your response be?
Fuck off.
Did you hear that?
Fuck off, I heard.
You take fuck off. Now, Graham there, his sister plucks his nipple hairs, and that's not a lie.
Gross.
So there you go. So it is a problem.
Well, she works as a beauty therapist. Does that add anything different?
That's disgusting. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Quilty, tell her she works as a beauty therapist. That's different.
No, don't.
He says that she does it every single Friday night, just the two of them.
Life that can be doing that.
He has a girlfriend, yeah.
Where are
you
doing it?
I don't know. She won't touch me.
It is weird, though, isn't it?
They're waiting until their wedding day.
Yeah.
We need
We're
a
waiting for the nipple. The ceremonial nipple plucking.
I can't wait for that day.
At the top table. Instead of the speeches, we were plucking each other's nipples.
Firstly, I would never.
Not each other's.
She would
Poor Claire.
I take my top off. I'll lie on the table in front of my parents.
God.
This is the moment you've been waiting for. Like, Rebecca no longer has to pluck my nipple hair. We pass it over to Claire.
That was great to meet.
I don't even think that she would be on my list of potential pluckers. Nathan, have you got a sister or is it just brothers?
I don't have a sister. I just have three older brothers.
But sometimes Adam dresses up as your sister.
Yeah, and we play hide and seek.
Firstly, if you were to do that, like, number one ask is probably Becca.
I really don't think that this is a big deal.
I'd do it myself.
Yeah. Dude, it's not your back. You can see your nipples. What the fuck is somebody else doing?
What's up with you,
Graham? Because I don't. It's sore.
Are you okay, Graham?
It's sore.
Is everything all right?
Just plop, plop, plop. Done. Done.
Plop, plop, plop.
What's the big deal? I'm there. Okay, I'm walking around our house.
You're very full of yourself.
I'm brushing my teeth. Top off, maybe after a shower. Rebecca walks in, goes, geez, your nipples are awful hairy. Let me pluck them.
Is your top off in front of your sister?
Why isn't it? We were born fucking naked. What is the big deal with the top off?
You did a
video before where you walked out with a sock around your cock in Portobello.
My brothers weren't there. My brother, I would have been.
You had a sock on your cock and that was it.
No.
And is that the method when your sister's plucking your nipples?
No, I have trousers on.
Okay, all right.
I have trousers. Everyone
just
relax.
For the record.
You're all the weird ones.
For the record, it wasn't an adult size sock.
It was an ankle sock.
It was a 6 month old sock. For a baby.
It's getting very hot.
It was really nice meeting DQ's sister.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that immediately her response to you pluck my nipple? Was fuck off.
Honestly, you're not close.
I'm proud of her.
Shame on you. I would prefer to have a sister that plucks my nipples.
DQ, something crazy happened to me in a shop this morning.
Also, I've got to say this here.
Go on.
I know she listens, so
Rebecca,
she's probably mortified right now. Don't put that as the promo because I don't want that going out because
she'll
kill me.
Don't worry.
You have addressed that she is a beauty specialist.
She's a beauty.
So.
It's all good.
You've gone up at least a couple of points.
But don't put it out there in the world because she'll kill me.
Okay.
She knows that nobody listens to this podcast, but we don't need our hundreds of thousands of followers on Instagram watching it.
DQ.
Oh, he's taking a swig.
Nah, go ahead.
I want to hear your thoughts on this and what you might do in this situation. I was in the shop this morning.
Be careful now you don't say which shop.
I'm not going to say which shop, but I went to pick up a scented candle, all right?
An essential item. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, essential shopping in the pandemic, Nathan. I like it so far.
It was a lemon balm candle. So it kind of smelt of lemon curd.
Yeah, it definitely an essential item in this global pandemic we're facing. So yeah, so far the right moves have been made.
So I'm in the shop and out of nowhere, this rather strange gentleman walks in and his face mask is down to the bottom of his chin. So his mouth and nose are very much exposed.
Exposing you, the customers, and himself to COVID-19.
So he doesn't seem all there, but he certainly wants something from the shop. I'm not too sure what it is at the moment.
I mean, it is a pandemic, so he could be possibly also in search of a lemon curd candle.
More vanilla, maybe.
So the shop is barricaded, so you can't go to certain areas.
Except the candle.
While he tries to slip underneath the rope that is telling people not to go near, he tries to slip under that, and the security guard goes, "Man, what are you doing? You're not allowed to go there. Do you not read the sign?" And he looks back at him with his said exposed nose and mouth. and says, what?
Ready to infect the shop.
And the security man says, put on your mask properly. And he's like, what? And starts walking closer to the security man. And the security man says, put on your mask, please. And if you want your thing, go up the stairs. So then he goes up the stairs and he has his mask covering his face. But I'm going in the same direction that he's going to. So I don't want to be anywhere near him. But he's walking around like a madman. Anyway, I find my lemon-scented candle and I'm in the queue. But this man isn't aware of the queuing system. And he's standing beside,
not 6 feet away,
beside the till. And the woman says, sorry, sir, you have to queue up. He then exposes his nose and mouth again and says, what? Why didn't you tell me? And she goes, sir, you're being very aggressive. Please stop shouting at me. And he says, this is a fucking joke. Sir, please get in the queue. So then she says to her manager, I'm not going to serve this man. Now, the man is directly behind me because I'm in the queue wanting to pay for this candle.
So who's behind you?
The crazy man.
The crazy guy's behind you.
Behind me. And he's muttering things to himself. But I can see the woman at the till that shouted at him. Well, no, actually, he shouted at her. But she says, I'm not serving him. I'm not serving him to who I think her supervisor is. The supervisor looks at the man and then starts walking towards him.
Boom.
And I'm caught in this sandwich between the two. And he says to the crazy guy, I hear you've been very rude. Don't be rude and put on your mask properly. And he says, well, she never fucking told me where to go. And the supervisor then starts going, blah, 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 blah. Shut up or you won't be able to buy anything in the shop, and walks away.
Weird that she said blah, 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 blah instead of actual words. But the thing is, this is the fucking reality of the fucking situation.
Blah, 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 blah.
I feel like we're chatting to Larry King. Isn't DQ just on the top of his game?
Now, he's just taking it all in, taking a swig
Larry
of his...
King, Lord rest him, and I would have a very similar physique, as you know. You know, my shoulders are constantly up at my ears due to the constant anxiety that I deal with.
It was an interesting physique he adopted, isn't it?
Can you not see me heading that direction as
no.
I approach?
Can you get suspenders that are buried into your traps?
Because no, he was very hunched over, DQ.
I'm heading that way. Actually, no, I do walk. I have a good posture.
You're very
you guys
erect.
So, there's one thing to consider about this gentleman.
Yeah, let's dissect this whole
let's do it.
Incident. What does this say about
it is possible
society?
That he may have a mental illness, or B, maybe a mental condition. So that has to be taken into factor, because some people don't fully understand the rules of the quarantine and or the pandemic or whatever. So if we give him the benefit of the doubt and he doesn't understand what's going on, you know, that's not his fault. He was born that way. Secondly, I wrote out the pan. Now, I've been in Dublin now for coming into months now.
Live in New York City.
Stand clear of the closing doors.
Doors, please. So, I did the pandemic in New York. And see, the attitude in New York was very different, because the messaging from the governor of New York, his name is Andrew Cuomo, and his brother works for CNN. It's kind of weird. The mask thing in New York was the number one thing from the get-go. Why? Because it's a city where everybody lives on top of each other, and there's 8.5 million people in a small city. So obviously a pandemic is going to spread like wildfire in New York. Fair?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So they had the masks straight up,
so.
and they shut the city down. But what happens in New York is there are New Yorkers who are very friendly, nice people, and they look after their own, but they're also very aggressive. And what happens in New York, and I saw this happening, is New Yorkers shouting at other New Yorkers on the streets, because in New York City, you wore the mask the moment you left the apartment until you returned to the apartment, the same way you wear a pair of fucking underpants. So literally, this, I'm no scientist. I don't have a college degree, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm not an expert, but I've been wearing a mask and sanitizing my hands for this whole pandemic. I don't go anywhere without my mask on. I haven't caught the COVID. I was in the hospital. I had to bring somebody in into the hospital, into the COVID place where all the COVID people are. And on that day, I was like, well, this is where the COVID is. So I wore a surgical mask, a cotton mask, a surgical mask again, and one of those face shields.
I think I FaceTimed you when you were wearing all that stuff.
Yeah. So you've seen. So I fucking masked up.
I thought you were a gimp in Berlin.
It wasn't sexual whatsoever. Dealt with the situation and was around COVID positive people. And then, I stayed inside, did my test, still negative. So my point is this, for me, I've worn a mask and washed my hands, I haven't got COVID. So that's like, oh, the mask works. So then in New York, you've got the messaging, and then New Yorkers literally fucking shouting at New Yorkers from across the street. If a guy doesn't have his mask on, you've got a guy going aggressively, yo, put your fucking mask on! And it's kind of the New York accent. It's intimidating. There was a day my beautiful girlfriend and I were walking through a quiet neighborhood looking at beautiful houses in Greenpoint in Brooklyn, New York. And there were no people around. And Nathan, much like our friend in the candle shop today, I put my mask down on my chin to enjoy some fresh air while there were no people around. And we approached a 70-year-old woman. And from fucking...
What are you talking about, Tara?
From 20 yards away, the 70-year-old woman goes to me, it looks better on your face, honey.
Oh,
so
fuck.
The thing I've noticed from being back in Ireland is Irish people go, jeez, he's not wearing a mask. See him around there not wearing a mask. Whereas in New York, if you were a New Yorker, Nathan, you would have turned around to that guy yourself and said, hey, put your fucking mask on and have some fucking respect.
But what about the one that went, blah, 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 blah?
I guarantee you she wasn't Irish. Was she Irish, Nathan?
Who?
The lady who went blah, blah, blah,
no,
blah, blah.
That was the male supervisor that said that to the crazy man.
Was he Irish?
Yes.
Good for him.
But what,
because,
why
does that
wait,
mean
what's
anything?
What's the nationality got to do with him going blah, 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 blah?
No, I'm saying the Irish people, we like to pass comment to ourselves. Did you hear what happened to your one down the road? You guys wear masks.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Prior have to? You once shouted at someone in public that didn't have a mask on saying, hey, put on your fucking mask. Have you done it once?
Well, I'll actually be honest. I was cooing up for a coffee there a couple of weeks ago and there was this group of girls. I'd say they're early 20s, something like that. It was four of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No bother shouting at young ones, Graham.
I wasn't shouting at anyone.
You have a problem, Graham.
They were literally 2 feet behind me. 2 feet. I was like, can you please back off?
So did you say something?
Absolutely not. I took out my phone and pretended I was scrolling on Instagram. But I, look. What was
Wear
he?
Wear your fucking mask.
Wear your mask. Here. What was he picking up?
What was he
what
picking up?
What did he want to buy?
It looked like a massive cushion.
All right.
Cushion from the living room.
So the point of the story is
Jesus.
You've
already gone on, DQ, would you just
we get it.
Shut
wear
up.
A mask. New Yorkers tell you wear a mask and they don't in Ireland.
This isn't Derek Quilty's
The point
different.
Is that he should be wearing his fucking mask. You ask me my take on the story.
More so the person going blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. DQ, a few weeks ago I FaceTimed you and you told me an excellent story about you getting your American driver's license. I wonder if you would be so kind as to humour us and to tell Graham incident.
Do you have to get a separate one in the United States of America?
Yeehaw!
You can't do the transfer and... it's actually quite a sexual license. Look, it's very nice.
Oh, like New York State.
It's very sexually charged.
I like your hair in that. You look very young. Is that an old ID?
I don't know if you can see. They have like, they do. I'm going to hold my finger there. Can you read that? No, I don't know if you can.
What do we do? Like Derek Quilty, Brooklyn, your address. You've got a little, there's a clear photo of you that is a clear part of the card, but it has your kind of silhouette on it.
It puts your eye colour on it, your height.
Oh, very good.
Graham, I do think you have to be kinder to DQ, because the last time we actually saw him was in my living room at home, and you were slagging off what he was wearing. You were saying he wasn't looking great that day.
I will say we may have a problem.
Why?
Because we have someone looking at the door that was about to come in, and we've only got this book till... Oh, I don't know if we have booked. So just to let everybody know...
Who was that?
Rachel.
Okay.
So we might have... So let's just be prepared that this might have to wrap up at any stage.
But can we...
We're an impending doom.
Graham, will you be kinder to DQ? Remember you're sagging off...
Oh,
he
you
was
looked
wearing...
horrendous.
What did you say?
I don't know.
He had the weird trousers,
no, they're
didn't
my
he?
New cool pants that just ride up around the ankle.
Yeah, I didn't like
I
that.
Remember? And he had the...
Not good for a person
had,
in
like,
the mid-30s.
The glasses. Yeah, I think he wears the Illuminous... glasses that cyclists like to wear.
Oh yeah, to
don't
keep
you
the, yeah,
own a pair of DQ?
Keep the flies out when you're cycling.
Yeah.
You're wearing your comfortable clothes today. I see. Nice tracksuit bottoms.
Today,
I thought
yeah.
you were going to show us your arse, but you weren't. You showed us your midriff.
No, there's
instead.
No hair there, and it's inappropriate.
What happened with the
driver's
license?
Well, you like. You remember both of you full licenses.
Yes.
You better believe it.
What's the big thing in Ireland? The test is 45 minutes long. You're doing a hill start on a hill. You're reversing around corners. You're doing a 3-point turn. You have to give the guy a wank. You're juggling.
That's why I failed. Oh.
Did you fail first time?
I know, I got it right.
I had to wank him twice.
There's no way a man from
Nathan
Mayo
failed on purpose. So we can go back a second time.
Curses.
The only people that fail their driving test the first time are people in Dublin.
I'll tell you this one. The only people who fail their driving tests at home are lads who actually have been driving since they were really young.
Just bad habits.
Yeah. Bad habits. Yeah. But everyone gets it pretty early on in Mayo because we have no public transport or infrastructure.
I went to the DMV. I believe that stands for possibly the Department of Motor Vehicles. I don't know, but you hear about it in movies. And I went to the DMV to inquire about how to get a license. And, you know, there's no difference between the DMV and an old motor tax office in Ireland, all the chairs and the tickets and the people pre-COVID. And I just went down to see what the fuck you have to do to get a license. Because I rent cars a lot over there. And when you don't have the New York license, you have to go to the airport, bring your passport. It's a whole fucking thing. So I was like, it'll be cool to have a New York license. So I went to the DMV merely to inquire, to be aggressively told, fill out this form and get in that line. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ. And I got into the line. And when I got to the front of the line, I gave the lady the form. And she said, please, sir, step to the right. And then she took my photograph. And then I was put into a room to complete a theory test.
Oh, I thought you were interrogated.
I was like, what the fuck? I just wanted to inquire. Same idea as the theory test in Ireland. A, B, C, D. 40 questions. You have to get 37 right to pass.
How did you do?
I'm 35 here. Tougher.
Is it 35?
Yeah, 35. Because I got 36. Scrapes passed.
I got 30 and had to give someone a wank.
I got 38 out of 40.
Very nice.
I got two. Because I've been driving over there for a long time. So I'm like the rules are slightly different than here. But I'm relatively familiar. But like... One question I got wrong was, without a sign in New York State, what's the speed limit?
50.
Is it A, 50, B, 55, C, 60, or D, 65 on a motorway?
65.
50.
Answer is 55.
Oh, no points.
Yeah, but New York State is the lowest.
Go into that room to Bob.
Oh, hey, Bob, I've already met you before underneath the Brooklyn Bridge.
The New York State, the speed limit in other states will be 65, I believe, on the interstates.
Oh. Gonna take it slower.
Failed on that one, and also failed on some question in relation to a truck with orange lights. that don't plan on being a trucker. So, passed that, and then in the post arrives a learner permit, which is looks the same as my driver's license, except it says learner permit. Don't want to learn a permit, man! Same rules apply as here. You must have a fully licensed driver with you. So in order to acquire the full license in New York State, one must complete a 5-hour driving school.
In one go.
Now, this isn't lessons. This is So I booked this pre-COVID.
Is this kind of like what you see on the American shows where there's cones in this massive tarmacadam area?
No. And this is a room.
Of deers.
This is a room with chairs deep in Flatbush in Brooklyn, which is probably like...
Yeah, I've been there once. Never again.
Darndale. So it's me and four people who are like sitting with their hands on their cocks on their fucking phone. And the really over enthusiastic instructor who has a whiteboard and is, you know, teaching us how a car works for an hour. And then you've got to watch 4 hours of videotapes. And I am not exaggerating this for the purpose of the story. It's a DVD with a spinning graphic.
The Fast and Furious.
So you've chosen to drive. Cars today have the latest technology, and it cuts to a fucking 2001 Honda with a CD player. Audio when driving may be and it's fucking 4 hours of watching these fucking videotapes about how to put your seatbelt on. And it's all from 1994. No exaggeration. And you need to complete this to get the certificate. So, and there's a break in the middle.
Did you play with your new friends?
Yeah, did you make friends?
I went to Dunkin' Donuts and I got a fucking hot chocolate in the rain, and I walked back praying that I wasn't going to be murdered.
I hate the way DQ...
I'm so happy I went to New York.
I'll tell you one thing I dislike about DQ, because there's a few.
There's a few.
Just tell me one, though.
The fact that he doesn't drink coffee really annoys me.
Annoys me too. I'll be honest with you, man. Do you know how much I want to say, hey, do you want to have a coffee? Just go for a coffee. You want to have coffee.
But you like tea, so it's fine. Same thing.
Why don't you just have a coffee? Force yourself to like it.
No. You want me to have a panic attack? Is that what you're looking for?
Yes.
So I get my fucking form, finally, after my 5 hours of...
Did you have to do a test after it? Or just by being there, you got the form?
No, I got the form in order to take the test.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So, you know, I learned what wheels were and that the steering wheel controls the car. Now, bear in mind, I've driven a car from Las Vegas, Nevada to fucking Memphis, Tennessee, you know, because I've got the Irish license. Mm. And
In the video, I know just by watching American shows, they're massive fans of going to parties and drink driving. I presume massive part of that was
and
probably
the
an
red
hour,
cups.
An hour dedicated to how you can drink and drive.
Oh, how weed affects you driving. And, you know, if you have 3 drinks, but you're feeling okay, should you drive?
And generally the answer is yes in America. Have 3 no. more and give it a go.
Are you learning to drive with an automatic or a manual, DQ?
So in the United States, it's all automatic.
Yeah, and, that's mad.
Again, I haven't taken any lessons at this point, obviously, because I've been driving, you know, as Graham says, I'm in my late 30s. So I've been driving since the early 90s, of course. So the pandemic happened and there was nothing. There was all the DM testing stopped and all that shit. You heard about that global COVID-19?
Yeah, I think so. We had a fellow on there before in the podcast. He talked about 20 minutes about masks.
Yeah, just pretty boring. Those mask pushers, man. Yeah. Fuck off with your agenda. Like, you know what I mean? It's a fucking scandemic by the government. So, we're in phase 2 or 3 or whatever. And I ring the DMV and I say, hey, can I book a test? And they're like, yeah, are you wearing a fucking mask? And I was like, Jesus Christ. And he's like, so I booked the test for Thursday. And in order to take the test, I need a car. Don't have one. So it's quite common. There's a lot of driving schools. So you ring them and you say, hey, I've got a test. And they will they'll drive you to the test site, DMV roadside. No cone. Sorry, Graham. And there you will. There's like 5 or 6 instructors and they're doing tests there all day. And it's $150. This man drives me in a Honda Accord down to the test site. I'm in the back. It's COVID. I'm wearing my mask. He's fucking giving out the whole way down. Saying, this is terrible, this is ridiculous. Before I take 4 people down, I take 4 people down, they do tests, now I got to do 1 at a time. How am I supposed to make money? How am I? I'm like, oh God, man, I just fucking...
How much did it cost to pay him?
$150.
Oh, so he's 150, and then how much for the test?
Oh, I think it was like $30.
Oh, that's all right. That's very reasonable.
So, I get down in with after listening to your man. Now I'm on the DMV site, and I'm like, "What do you need on the test?" And you need to have antibacterial wipes. And my friend who is, "Hey, they're let me drive four people. I can't take it. I gotta go up and down. I'm losing money. Fucking government, the fucking bullshit." And I had a backpack with like fucking sprays and like a fucking thing of Clorox in it. So I get down. The supervisor of the DMV people is inspecting the vehicle, which is part of it, and then says, Sir, do you have antibacterial wipe?" And he has hand sanitizer spray that he starts spraying the fucking car with. And she's like, "This isn't antibacterial. You can't spray with hand sanitizer." He's like, "No, it says it does. This is bullshit. It says on the..." So thank fucking Christ I had bought 900 fucking paper towels of Clorox. So I'm like, "I have Clorox here." And she's like, "Thank you very much, sir." So I had to fucking wipe the fucking car down. If I didn't have that, I wouldn't have been allowed to take the test. This fucking prick, it is bullshit. So,
I love the way
I've never driven this car before, firstly. And secondly, I watched, I had no lessons or anything. I watched a YouTube video on the morning of the test. How to pass driving test in New York. You can probably find it online. It's this great black guy. And he's just like, fucking... "So y'all want to pass driving test in New York? Here's what you need." And he just goes through. It's fucking excellent. And I remember from the video, SMS.
Go on.
Seat, mirror, seatbelt. So that was that's the... You remember in Ireland, your driving test, they tell you, you look in the mirrors before you indicate. Little things like that. You got to remember. Hands on the fucking thing.
You have to look down at your seatbelt.
SMS is what I had. So you sit into the vehicle, into the driver's seat. The first thing you do is adjust the seat back. Now, Nathan and I are gifted with very, very long legs.
Yeah, gangly people.
Couple of tall drink of water, you would say.
Tall freak.
So, of course, every car I'm in, the seat's back all the way. Because I'm 84% legs. So the first move is adjust the seat. Seat goes back. Then you adjust your mirrors. Then you put your seatbelt on. Then the instructor gets in from the DMV with his blue t-shirt on. And he's fucking 17 years old. Without a shadow of a doubt, he's 17 years old. And he's very calm. And he's like, "Okay, are you okay now?" So we're going to proceed around the block. And we're going to do a three-point maneuver. So all you've got to do is drive around in a fucking square, do a parallel park and a three-point turn.
What's the weather like, DQ? Is it hot?
Nice
sweaty,
day.
Sweaty
nice
time?
Day today. It's a nice day. There's no rain. So I'm in this Honda and, you know, I start the engine. I'm a little bit nervous because I'm like, fuck, if I fail this fucking test, me in my mid-40s, Jesus Christ. The moment... I'd never driven this car before. It isn't automatic. But the moment I took off, I was like, "Oh Christ, the seat was way too far back."
Oh, no.
Like so far back, like that, like going to the accelerator was a fucking push. But I couldn't do that normal thing you do when you're in a car and you're driving and you just put a forward a bit.
Yeah.
So I'm literally like fucking
boy racer.
Way back, way, you know. So he takes me around the block. The test lads, 7 fucking minutes. I go around a block, I do a few stop signs, I do a parallel park, which is a god gift that
That's
I have,
tough.
I'm very good at parallel
park.
That is
very difficult.
And I do a three-point turn, and I fucking passed. 7 fucking minutes.
Jesus
Boom.
Christ.
Boom!
Like, and, sorry, is that my WhatsApp? The fucking... Like the 5-hour driving school and the DMV and all the fucking time to get it, like for a fucking 7-minute test. But at least now I have the license.
How do you find
makes life a lot easier over there? One for ID and then two for renting cars and stuff. Or if I move to a new state, like if I move to California, I can trade in and get a California license, you know, that sort of thing.
What did you use for ID before that?
My Irish.
Irish driver's license.
Yeah, but it's always a whole.
Do you have the fucking card? Do you have the card or do you have the paper?
No, I have the card, thankfully.
Oh, when did you get that? Or do you renew yours?
No, I lost early 90s. I lost my paper one.
Okay. Right. I think I have to renew mine next year, so I'll get the card.
I lost the paper one, so I had to fucking go, but the card is...
The paper is the biggest load of bollocks I've ever seen in my life.
It's kind of a national embarrassment when you're abroad, especially on your J1 visa.
Yeah. Like, what you is know, this? So, what is this? Oh, it's my driver's license. No, it's not. It's a piece of shit. That's exactly what it is.
Sir,
Claire used to bring hers.
Me shit, sir.
It was Claire's... It is still Claire's primary use of ID.
Really?
And hers... It went through the wash. It's crumpled up. It doesn't. It's not legible. You can't read it.
Yeah.
And I have to go with this whole rigmarole every time. I'm like, Claire, will you please get a guard ID? Please. Oh, no, but it's fine. You can still read. I go, this is an embarrassment.
I think they've been discontinued, those guard IDs, have they?
I think they have as well.
Well, then what do you use?
Get the good driver's license, the card.
Yeah, but what if you don't have a card?
There's an age card.
Age card, yeah. The card. That's what I meant.
Does Claire still get ID'd?
Odd time.
I find it very worrying when Becca tells me she gets ID'd.
Why?
Because it's like, she's over 18.
And you look about 50. So, yeah.
I got ID'd when I flew back.
Did you actually?
It was unreal. You know what I got ID'd for?
Matches. What?
Cigarettes.
Buying vape liquid.
Nice.
Are you still on the vape, are you?
No. I don't vape. There's no vaping.
No, I think I saw you even from the corner of the webcam. Cause I can.
No, there's no vaping. It was for someone else.
I find it really rude when you vape. You did it in my living room. It's like you should at least ask someone if it's okay to have a vape. Look at that.
There's no vaping.
Look at the smoke. You can hear that against the microphone.
Here, just in case we do get kicked out, and we are coming up to a nice 45 minutes. Dara... Congratulations on your 1963 album, Appella.
Yeah, baby.
In preparation for this interview, I was actually looking up your old band's videos. Fox Avenue.
I've looked them up before.
We only have one music video of Fox Avenue.
Well, no, just like your lives and when you did stuff at
the
Olympia.
He's in live and he has the guitar DQ and he's like applauding and trying to G up the crowd.
I saw Balcony TV as well. I was watching that one.
Oh, yeah, we did. Fox Avenue was great, man. We got
that was a lot of fun.
When I made Appella, we did the album before gigs. You know what I mean?
Where did the name come from? Fox Avenue.
That has been there. Now there's a fucking tie-in. You're gonna love this tie-in. This is absolutely.
It's your friend Warren, isn't it?
Warren's a great guy, though, isn't he?
Nah, he's okay.
He's a great guy, though, isn't he? If we think about it, this podcast is going to be called
Warren.
Warren.
Shout out to Warren.
In memoriam. The in memoriam, Warren. We acquired those paper licenses on our J1 visa.
Oh.
And our address was blah, 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 Fox Avenue.
How cool is that?
That's cool.
And.
Fake IDs?
No comment. But.
I had a fake ID before.
Did you go on?
I think
I've
talked
about
this.
You said it before, yeah. Was it
Joshua Smith?
English. You were English, weren't you?
Joshua Smith. Your pass is a Joshua.
I would go around and I would say from Liverpool, yeah. But then my ID was from Milton Keynes. But then I said I grew up in Liverpool, but then my dad moved, got a new job in Milton Keynes. But the
very
thing was,
clever. Did it work?
I had a backstory. Yeah, it worked. And then I think I recently told a story. But my godfather owns a pub in the town beside my town, the bigger
is
town, Westport.
It's a nice pub.
Yeah, J.J. O'Malley's. If you're ever in Westport, pop in, ask for Stephen, say Graham sent you.
But Westport County Mayo.
Westport County Mayo, baby.
That's where that pink guitar was built.
Yes, custom built. Custom built, just outside of Westport. But I was sitting at the bar and I was 20, 21 at this stage, and then my godfather comes up and goes, is this you? And it was my ID. My ID had been passed down to generations.
Did you just give it to someone, your ID?
Yeah. So there's no use to me then.
Was it your photograph on it?
My photograph. And he was like, I had to take this off somebody the other night. I'm like, oh, jeez, I haven't seen that in a few years.
I paid somebody in the Institute of Education. There was this mysterious guy in there who was making fake guard age things.
Yeah.
I think it was like €50 to get one or something.
Jeez, that's not pretty bad. Good.
But listen, your album. I want to talk about your album.
No, listen, some girl knew the guy and we got
well,
one.
I do.
I went to Q-Bar when I was 17.
I love Q-Bar on the Keys. It's now River Bar.
And I had my guard age card, and first outing with the guard age card, and the bouncer looked at it, took it, goes, "Not real, fuck off," and put it in his pocket. And I went,
oh, fuck.
I had that thing for about 72 hours.
Here,
Dara, I want to talk about your
yourself.
Album.
Come on.
1963, you can get it on ApellaMusic.com. It's been out, 3 weeks now? There it is in front of you. You're
three
holding
weeks,
up.
Yeah.
How has your life changed since it's been out?
I'm so happy.
How does it feel? Because you've been holding on to it for a long time.
Yeah.
I remember when you were going up and down to Athlone every day, doing your recording, coming back, doing your show.
When I was in my late 20s.
When you're late 20s, yeah.
It was in the 90s.
Back in the 90s, yeah. So how does it feel to finally have it out there into the ether?
Can we be real now? Can we be real?
Yeah,
well, you can be real.
Be real.
Obviously, it was the release of an album, but like the actual like mental or metaphorical release for me and my brain, it's so satisfying to open up Apple Music and Spotify, search Apella, and see my fucking album existing in the world. I swear to God, I was like, that was all I wanted out of it, was that, because I spent a lot of money doing it and time. And I get a lot of fulfillment. Like, you know, you guys do this podcast and you don't make a fucking goddamn penny, even though it should be sponsored by everything. You do it because you love doing it. And then obviously I was doing my podcast, and then a bunch of people that listen to Little Big Pod were listening to my pod and were very complimentary about your podcast. And I love doing podcasts, and I didn't make a fucking goddamn penny from my podcast. Shout out to my 14 Patreons. But the point is, you get fulfillment from doing this. And I get fulfillment from doing the music. So seeing it out there was like so fucking rewarding. One, because it existed, and two, because I did it, like, you know, it was my money. It's completely independent. Like, there's no record label, there's no big fucking swindling manager pulling favors. So
how many years, DQ, did it take to make?
I don't know, probably like
because your song We Met at a Party,
yeah, that came out in 2016. We were still recording. I probably 3 years, because I did it in batches, because I didn't have the bulk of money to drop on the table at one time. And then as the album went on, skills as a producer or as a person is actually able to use Pro Tools and stuff grew. So sort of like, I'll do two songs. I'll do three songs. And each time I was in, I was able to come in with more material that was good enough to be left on the record. So for example, like, there's a song on the album, number 11, it's called Little Bit Less. The whole middle bit of that song was recorded in my wardrobe in my bedroom, as opposed to the recording studio.
You're
so
like Billie Eilish.
I like
very similar
bury
to Billie
you.
Eilish, actually.
Bury
Pretty
You
much
is my
same.
Favorite, Dara.
Number two, yeah, it's very Killers-y, that song, actually. That
I was
going
to say 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that many 30 Seconds to Mars songs, but when I heard that, I was like, I like the beginning.
Yeah,
of
a lot of synthesizers. So the whole thing is, like, it is a banging album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, each song essentially was approached from a production point of view. So, like, We Met at a Party is clearly a punky kind of song. Buried You is very synth, like that 30 Seconds to Mars or The Killers. Graceful Dancer, she's a big dirty ballad with pianos and stuff.
City Limits is great.
That City Limits would be kind of in the punky indie realm, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Point of View, which is on RT Radio 1, lads.
I saw
the
that.
Fuck.
Playlisted, baby.
The fuck? That's unreal.
We've been hearing it a lot on our show, Point of View.
It's a beautiful song,
yeah,
no?
Yeah. I had one person message me the last day after hearing it on the show, ask me what it was on Instagram.
Oh,
they kind of gave a line, and they said Point of View, and I was like, yeah, that's Point of View from Apella.
Yeah. But I see the streams and the Spotify's and all that. Like, so I mean, it's going down pretty well. So like, you know, it took a while to do, and just it existing is fucking great. You know what I mean? It's kind of like when you start a podcast and you send it off to Apple, and then you
there it is.
Open your podcast app, and there it is. And it's like, holy shit, this is like, you guys are on how many episodes? 300?
4,000, I think.
You know what I mean? But like, it's taken, you've created a library of content. So when you both die, inevitably, in your early 30s,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you've left a legacy and a catalog for the documentary.
Are you happy with the album now that it's out there, or has your thoughts now changed to, oh, do I have to make another Appella album? Or
now I'm like, fucking, it's the release is great for me, yeah. and I'm looking forward to now. I don't know if I'll be able to afford another album unless somebody pays for it, but like, just like even doing a 5-track EP or anything, like, because this is the thing, fellas, it's, you release a record in January. January is when all the festival booking happens.
Yeah.
So if this was a normal year, no, it's fine. I don't give a shit. Because again, my
perspective. Nice though.
If you obviously you guys know about the backstory with this album and what I'm doing for the Marie Keating Foundation, that has changed my perspective on things greatly. So traditionally, we'd release that, then our booker would then, we'd be looking at Independence, C Sessions, Castle Palooza, Electric Picnic, fucking Cox in the Forest, or whatever the fuck happened.
I love that band and venue.
It's a festival. I never go.
Damn it!
But I never go to festivals unless I'm playing them, because I hate people, as you know, Graham.
Yes. So you do.
And you pay me to go, I'll go. But you know, so, but I don't give a shit that we're not doing that, because I just wanted it out there. And then, I guess if anyone listening could actually go and buy it, I've been very lucky.
Please
with Dublin
do.
Vinyl, they've made this whole store thing possible. So all I wanted, I just wanted it to exist. You guys know that anyway.
Yeah.
There would be no CDs or there would be no vinyls if I wasn't doing this thing with the Marie Keating Foundation. So essentially, in a nutshell, it's on pre-order at the moment. Hopefully we'll be able to do this by the end of the month, which because COVID is slowing down everything. There's a limited edition white vinyl, which is fucking class. I got the insert sheet when it opens up and all the lyrics. It's like a proper fucking beautiful thing. It's the same color. It's pink. The vinyl's white. There's a CD. Even if you don't have a CD player, log on, buy 4 CDs. Fuck it. Because 100% of the money, not the profits, the money, 100% of all the sales on appellamusic.com, I am donating directly to the Marie Keating Foundation, because they provide outstanding support services to women and families all affected by breast cancer at any stage. And in the world of cancer, that can be overlooked a little bit by some people, not on purpose. They just don't realize, because they're so lost in medicine and doctors and science and chemo and pills and drugs and schedules, that they forget that their head's getting all fucked up and that it's helpful to talk to other people. So that's why I'm doing that. And it's 100% because there would be no CDs or vinyls without the donations. So I'm like, fuck it. So like, you guys can put the link, I'm sure, underneath this on Spotify and Apple podcasts. But like, honestly, the Spotify and Apple Music, go and enjoy it there and listen to it there. But if you buy it, firstly, you're helping the independent artist or whatever nonsense. But you're also donating to the Marie Keating Foundation. So like, we're pretty close to this target I had in my head. I think I need to sell like 10 to 15 more vinyls until I've reached the goal. Mm. And like, if like one person listening can do that, that's makes it 9.
And what, what about the guitar you have, DQ, the pink one?
So that it is done in Westport. Yeah, that was it's a custom made guitar, like literally. Like fucking the guy, this guy Shane, who runs that company, like carves the wood into
cool.
Like it's not like a package from the internet. So it's like Irish oak. It's a mahogany neck, and everybody who pre-orders the CD and the vinyl goes into a draw, and somebody will win this one of a fucking kind guitar. And that's a gesture from Custom Built Ireland. You've seen the guitar.
Yeah.
Dave Moore gets a lot of guitars done down there.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful.
He was introduced me to Shane, Dave Moore. Yeah. And he's a great guy. And like, I've put it up on my Instagram. I play this guitar. I recently learned The Killers. I watched Song Exploder. when you were young.
Oh, it's so good. Yes.
But that, what's on Netflix?
On Netflix, they break down the making of a song. Dua Lipa, was it 10 Inch Nails? Is that the name of the band?
9 Inch Nails.
Oh, you were so close.
I was so close trying to be cool. Hey, 9 Inch
what's
Nails.
What's that band, that rock band?
No, 10 Inch Nails is their cover band.
Yeah.
That plays in Cuba.
They're great.
Quilty was trying to get in to see them.
Yeah, I never got to see them.
And the Killers. Yeah, so appellamusic.com, 100% of everything goes to the charity very close to Dara's heart, Marie Keating Foundation, and you're in with the chance to win that guitar as well.
It's just, even if you don't have it, look, like I'm going to show you the CD. I know we're on a podcast, but I can show you. I mean, the CD is beautiful. It's white. Now tell me that if you put that down on a table, it wouldn't make a pretty cool tea coaster or something.
Yeah, it's white with a blue circle on the outside and a Appella in really nice calligraphy, but the Dara's finger's going through where the E should be.
Also, it'd be nice as a miniature frisbee for a hamster or something.
Yeah, you know, just pick up a couple. The CDs are like $12.50. You know, pick up a couple of CDs.
And what we do is we use CDs as knives in here because we have knives to cook birthday cakes.
Cook birthday cakes, yeah. So it's a good birthday cake cutter. But like, honestly, going on to appellamusic.com helps the whole thing. And just buy fucking two CDs if you can afford.
Come on, DQ's one of the great guys. We want to support him. If you listen to this podcast, you know DQ is
he's
like furniture here. He's a friend. He's
and
a lover.
And it's also clear there's no monetary gain.
No, there's not.
For me, by selling vinyls or CDs. Like, it's literally all... Like, look, it's not going to be a whole heap of money because it's a fucking album. Like, we did the Great Pink Run in October and we raised $8,000. So like, I'm like, I spent 4 years crafting an album to perfection. I'm not going to make $8,000 and donate it to the Marie Keating Foundation. I need to sell too many albums. But I just wanted it to exist. So even if you don't give a shit about music and you throw it in the bin when you get it, if you could just log on and buy a vinyl or a CD or two CDs, honestly, it's so fucking helpful.
It'd be your good deed for the day.
It's actually a pre-order. Sorry, it's a pre-order for the minute. Yeah, it's
actually incredible just to know how much work has gone into that album too. I've seen him for years go up and down to Athlone, then to see him craft the songs and hear about the songs. And then
Clara County Offaly.
Why do I always say Athlone?
Because that's where iRadio is and you want me to work there.
Exactly. but the fact that he is donating 100%
please
of
do
the proceeds.
Fucking love iRadio. iRadio played the tits off Point of View. Shout out to iRadio.
And they did a great interview.
And Spin are doing
as
it as well. You guys aren't competing, so we're allowed compliments.
And what about this podcast? We're helping you out.
The Little Big Podcast, I've said it from day one, is my favorite fucking podcast on the Emerald Isle.
We have to wrap. I'm sorry,
here,
we have to wrap this up.
But just one more thing, one more question, Graham, before we go.
Really?
And I need a one-word answer.
One-word answer.
When is Dara Quilty's Different going to be back?
Soon.
Thank you very much.
Dara
Quilty, appellamusic.com. To donate to the Marie Keating Foundation, pick up the 1963 album. And not just for donating, it is a great album, too. The artwork is fantastic. You will not
be
disappointed.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pick a song and I'm going to let you play the full song at the end of the podcast so people can enjoy.
Can we play Buried You?
Yeah, Buried You.
Okay.
Do you have it?
Nathan will put it in.
So instead of Buried You...
Will you send it on to Nathan?
Instead of Papa Roach, I'm playing Buried You.
You're going to... I give you permission as an artist...
Will you send it on to Nathan.
And will you introduce Barry Jew here?
To finish off the greatest episode of Little Big Podcast, the end of the show, it's just the crescendo, it's the season finale of Little Big Podcast. Podcast is stopping. It's done now.
What?
The guys are retiring.
Huh?
And
no better way to finish.
Hurry up.
What a better way to finish. It's like a late night show with the band playing.
Yeah, come on, the band.
Appella, Buried You. On the Little Big Podcast.
What does the song mean?
Thank you very much. No more of that.
No.
Okay. Dara, thank you very much. We honestly have to go because I'm pretty sure Rachel's been waiting for about 40 minutes.
DQ, God bless.
Thank you so much, Dara. Bye, 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 bye.
Because I buried you in the last words of a song. In the last words of a song. Before searching for anyone that can give me anything close to love. 'Cause I buried you in the last words of a song, in the last words of a song.
My life into pieces. This is my